Welcome to Office Hours from XXXChurch.com, where we answer your questions regarding sexuality, porn, sexual integrity, and more. Where nothing is off the table and all conversations are welcome. Now, here's your host, Carl Thomas.
Welcome to Office Hours by XXX Church. I'm your host, Carl Thomas. I'm a pastor, certified neurohealth coach, and a guy who frankly struggled with a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about today for over 20 years until I finally found freedom about a decade ago. With me is our producer and my good friend, Neil. Neil works with our ministry as a group leader and also has a degree in addiction and recovery counseling. In today's episode, we're going to be jumping into and answering some really interesting questions. Questions like, hey, what's lust look like in an everyday setting? What do I do if I want freedom from sex addiction but have no recovery programs or resources that I can jump into locally? How do I deal with the sporadic urges I get? And what can I do if I have a really high libido and, well, I just want to get off at work? Yes, we got that one. Anyway, that's just some of what we will be discussing today. So make sure you hang in there, jump into these topics with us, and recognize no questions are off the table. I'm going to be honest and blunt with my answers. So let's just say don't get your feathers ruffled there, okay? Clear enough, Neil? Any questions?
No, everything's clear.
Cool. Well, then let's get going. Neil, what do you have for me today?
All right, question number one. I'm trying to understand lust. I know lust is not attraction or temptation. So my question is, how does lust look in practice?
Okay. We get this question an awful lot in one form or another. A lot of it is because so many people, I think, are confused on what lust actually is. To this man's or woman's credit, I don't want to discriminate there, it seems like they have a sort of understanding about it. They recognize that lust is not looking, it's not being attracted, it's not even having a desire, shall we say. So that's good, because a lot of people kind of, especially in church world, tend to go that route and think like, hey, if I'm attracted to a girl, I'm lusting after her. And that's just not the case. But things like attraction, desire, all that stuff can definitely go south if left unchecked. So what I mean by that is, if we see something, if we see someone that we think is attractive, we think, they look good. If we continue to let that process in our mind, and then we move to what I would say is objectification, right? So now you're not just looking at them as a person, you're looking at them as an object of whatever, right? An object, in this case, for sexual gratification, right? That's lusting. So in an everyday setting, what does that look like? Well, it can vary, of course, from person to person, but just to give you an everyday example, I would say, let's just say you're at the gym, you're working out, you're having a, whatever you're working that day, right? And an attractive woman walks by and she's wearing like those new TikTok leggings, which, well, I don't even know why you would wear them because they go right up your butt. I don't even know how that's comfortable. But regardless, you know, you have some woman walk by, I mean, they probably smell, I'm not even gonna go there. But yeah, it's just, there she is, she's in super tight pants, she looks good, she's toned. And you think to yourself, wow, she looks kind of good, right? You're just showing the fact that you recognize that, hey, this is an attractive woman to me. That's fine, okay? It's not your fault that she wore what she wore. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying it is what it is. But if now you look at her and you start thinking to yourself, man, she looks so good. I wonder what that would look like without the pants. I hate to go by the how many times you look rule, because that can get super legalistic and kind of miss the whole point of it. But sometimes it's a good indicator. Like if you just keep going back and going back and going back for a look and a look and a look, chances are you're doing it for a reason. It's not to appreciate her beauty as a person, but because you like the way those pants are hugging her butt, right? I mean, that's just most likely that's the situation, right? So again, what does it look like? Ask yourself, hey, am I looking at this individual as a person, recognizing that they have physical beauty as part of their entire makeup? Or am I just looking at the body, right? Am I just saying, hey, this looks good, and I'm trying to sexually gratify myself by watching that person?
Right. Yeah, spot on. I completely agree. I think the fact that you're appreciating the beauty, there's a difference in the fact that if you're appreciating the beauty, that something was created beautifully, and you appreciate that, that's one thing. You decide that, man, I want to see what that's like underneath the clothes or with me in the bedroom. Whole different topic. That's the difference.
Right.
Question number two. I need to stop porn, and yes, I know it's hurting me. I've been alone for years and have Asperger's. I keep praying, and I don't know of anything here where I live that can help me. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, so admittedly, the Asperger's thing throws a little bit of a wrinkle, you know, in this whole conversation, because that's a legitimate, let's say, psychological thing that you need help with. I get that, right? But at the end of the day, you've been struggling with porn. You know you need help. You want help. I think that's all great. I think the real core question here is, what do I do if I don't have resources available to me locally, right? Whether you have Asperger's or not. And to be honest, that's a very common question we get. Now, honestly, usually there are resources available to you, but sometimes you just either you're not aware of them, or you're hesitant to access them or access them because you're afraid of what other people think. A lot of times churches offer programs, but no one shows up. I always joke about how churches are kind of in this catch-22 where a lot of them don't want to talk about porn, but when they finally get the guts to do it and launch some sort of recovery resource and put all this effort in and they train up a leader, they have their first, you know, Wednesday night porn recovery group meeting, and like one guy shows up for the free donuts, right? So that being said, regardless of whether it's actual lack of resources or just perceived lack of resources, there's plenty of stuff online that's not porn, right? That's recovery. So for instance, we have the XP Pure 30-day workshop. That's a recovery workshop, and I'm not pushing a workshop here. I'm saying there are workshops out there that you can do. There are some great books. There's also some terrible books, but there's some great books out there that you can read on this. We can link to a couple of those things. One book I really like is by Jay Stringer. It's called Unwanted. That's a great book. Steve Luff wrote, he's got a new book coming out. He's a friend of the show and of the ministry. That book's not coming out yet, but that's a great book. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but there's some great books out there. There's also online recovery groups, right? There's several organizations that offer them. We have our own called Small Groups Online. We've been running that program for close to a decade now. Have 400-some men and women in those programs where they meet each week with the same group of people via video to talk about their struggles and what they're learning and so forth and so on. And we even have a guy I know of personally who's in one of those groups who actually has Asperger's. So that's not a disqualifier, right? And then there's like online recovery based communities such as the Live Free community, which again is part of what our ministry offers, and that is where you can sign up anonymously for all intents and purposes. No one's looking over your shoulder. You're on a computer. You sign up. You come into the community. There's a ton of free workshops and teaching and videos and everything else that will help you with your learning. But beyond that, there's a community of men, over 1,000 men in there, all kind of dealing with the same stuff you're dealing with, who can encourage you, who can support you, who can challenge you a bit, and also who can exchange ideas with you. So, yeah, I've been in that situation. Here's what I did. Or, hey, that's a good point. I wonder for myself how you would handle that, like that sort of thing. So plenty of stuff there online that you can access. Again, some of it's good, some of it's bad. A lot of good stuff, and you can find all the resources we offer, the workshop, Live Free, Small Groups Online at XXXChurch.com, right on the homepage.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest key here, let's face it, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and most people have lost a lot of their resources that were in person, obviously. So we're going online, and the online resources that are available, not just the ones that we offer, but there's so many. You do have resources available to you, so you do have things, places, organizations that can help you. So it's just a matter of getting online and reaching out and finding those and then joining some kind of community.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next question. Oftentimes, the temptation to watch porn will only come up maybe 2 or 3 times a month, but it is so hard to say no to. Any advice on how to deal with sporadic urges?
Yeah, so I've had this kind of talk, a different nature, but sort of the same idea of like this whole idea of, hey, it happens sporadically, it's not daily, it's not weekly. I remember I had a talk with a guy who was actually a youth pastor at the time, and he had convinced himself that his issue wasn't that big a deal because he only did it once a month. So it wasn't like a real addiction, right? It was just, hey, once in a while I jump in, but it's very infrequent. I don't think it's that big a deal. Of course, I told him, no, it is kind of a big deal, especially since you're a youth pastor, but that's a whole nother topic. Regardless, the idea of sporadic, what does that mean? I don't have the time here to go into all the science behind why some guys are daily, some guys are weekly, some guys maybe are monthly, right? But regardless, there's a pattern there, right? So we're not talking about the other day I was on Netflix. I saw a movie with like a really hot woman. And then like, I don't know what inspired me, but I went online, looked her up and found some nude pics, right? That I write that off to, I'm not saying it's good, but I write that off to, hey, crap happens, right? Just like sometimes sometimes we all lie. Sometimes we've all stolen at one point in our life, even if we don't think we've stolen, maybe we've cheated on our taxes, right? But I write that off to, hey, everybody messes up, everybody sins. What you're talking about is, hey, this is a pattern. It happens 2-3 times a month, every month on the regular, okay? If there's a pattern there, then that is a sign that there's something there you need to work on, right? It's not just, hey, I screwed up the other day. My horniness got the better of me. So how do you deal with that? Well, honestly, you deal with it the same way you deal with it, even if you're a daily user, right? You still need to talk about it. You still need to figure out what was it about those 2 or 3 times a month that kind of trigger the desire to go look at porn. It's all the same principles, right? The severity might not be there, but it's still the same basic issues, right? You're still going to that well for a reason. Maybe it's just because 2-3 times a month you're having work deadlines, and like, so the anxiety and the stress triggers a desire to go act out. Maybe it's something marital. I don't know your situation, but regardless, there's something there that you need to kind of work on and figure out what's going on. And then also, you should probably have some good accountability in your life so you have people to talk to about this stuff when it comes up. Hey, the other day, man, I don't know what happened, but out of nowhere, I got hit with this urge to go look at porn. And now you have somebody there say, oh, really? What happened the other day? Well, I don't know. You know. And then as you talk, maybe you start unlocking or figuring out some of the triggers, shall we say, for your acting out. So.
Yeah. You know, this might sound silly, but I think it's really important. I tell all my guys this in group. You need to have a plan. You need to sit down and put a plan in place first of all, let me rephrase. You need to figure out what the triggers are. What's driving you to want to look at porn? And that's a deep topic. That's a very deep topic, and it takes some time and effort. So if you really want this, you got to be willing to put in the time and effort. Once you figure out what the triggers are, then at that point, make a plan. Write something down if you have to. If I feel triggered in this way, this is what I'm going to do. I know that sounds silly, but it puts it into your mind. It kind of drills it in by writing it down. And then when those things come up, you know that you already have a plan in place. So doesn't mean you're always going to follow it. But let's be honest, we're human. We don't always follow our plans, right? But having that plan in place gives you an idea of what to do when that moment comes up. So that's a way I would say to deal with sporadic urges. And for sure, find some community and find some counseling.
Yeah. Yeah, the accountability is a big factor. And like one thing I would also just say is, and I don't know if he didn't say so much in his question, it sounds like that he indulges. He just says he gets these urges, right? So one thing you need to be aware of is, or conscious of, is the fact that like getting an urge, it's, you didn't do anything wrong, right? Like sometimes we all get urges to do something. It's what you do after the urge. So, oh gosh, I kind of feel looking at porn. I kind of feel like looking at porn right now. Okay. Hey, listen, it happens. You don't need to go start feeling super guilty and shameful about the fact that that kind of came into your mind. But what are you going to go do now, right? And like you said, you're playing. So, hey, maybe I'll reach out to my accountability partner. Or, hey, I'm on the computer and I know that this might not go anywhere positive, so I think I'll just close it down and go grab a coffee and let the moment pass, right? I mean, I have a decade of freedom behind me, but every once in a while, something will come into my mind because I've bombarded my mind over the years with that stuff where it's just, where'd that come from? And the idea of like, well, you know, you could still go look at it. But yeah, I could, but I'm just not going to, right? But don't feel super guilty about the fact that that idea came in your head. It happens.
All right, next question. Hey, I've been struggling with porn for about 5 years now, and I don't know how to stop. I've been talking to my pastor, and he said he wanted me to sign up so that he can see if I go to a website that I'm not really supposed to go to, and I'm not sure where to go. I just really want help.
Okay. Don't really know what the question here is, except for he needs help, but talking about the idea of like, hey, my pastor, I went to my pastor, I have this issue, and your pastor's answer was, well, go download some filtering and accountability software so I can track you. I don't know the rest of the conversation. Let's just give the pastor the benefit of the doubt and say there were more things, and this is just what he said. Who knows? But taking it by face value, I'd say that's a very incomplete recommendation or solution, right? Because, again, when we talk about porn addiction, sexual addiction, all these sorts of things, there's a lot of things in play here beyond just behavior, right? We need to stop going to this idea of, hey, the key to freedom is behavior modification. That's absolutely not true. That's just still floating around to this day in evangelical Christian circles. It's just something we can't get away from. Hey, if we just stop doing this, we're fine. It's like, well, okay. No, because there's a reason you want to do this stuff in the first place. And that's really the main issue. That's the real problem that we need to get to. So going to your pastor, nothing wrong with that, of course. Him telling you to download some accountability software and offering to be your accountability partner, nothing wrong with that. I don't know if I was your pastor, I would offer to be your accountability partner because I probably already have my plate full and I probably already have my own accountability partners. I would recommend you go get your own accountability partner. Regardless if he's willing to do that, that's great. I would still tell you to go get an additional accountability partner or two outside of your pastor because, again, who knows what his workload's like. Maybe he's just not going to be there for you all the time. You could always, again, check out the Live Free community where you have the availability of online accountability, if you will, by being able to talk to guys when things come up that you have questions about or maybe you just need to be checked on. But accountability software is great. It's not going to solve your problem, though. It will help hold you accountable for your online decisions. But at the end of the day, we still need to get to the whole thing of why do you go do this stuff in the first place? What's going on there? And so that's where things like workshops and counseling and all this stuff can come into play or will come into play. If you need help, first thing I'd say is, the first thing to do is get some community, right? So you already talked to your pastor. That's great. Newsflash, your pastor's not going to be there 24/7 for you. He's not going to be your number one and only accountability partner. Like, or if he is, he's not going to be able to satisfy that need fully just because of the nature of the job he has. You got to get some community. So jump into an online small group, jump into a local group. Again, you can check out Live Free Community, jump into that community. But you need people around you where you can start talking about this stuff, start exploring why these things are happening, and then start plugging into, get some recommendations on some good resources or solutions to help you start peeling the onion, getting to the core of why you pursue these behaviors in the first place.
Exactly. And I would also wonder, how close are you to your pastor? Do you have a personal relationship where you're good friends? Or is it just your pastor and you've just talked to them about this and this is what they offered? That's where the whole accountability comes in, finding another accountability partner that you're close to, you've got a good relationship with, and that they'll be, that they have the time to pour into this, you know, to question you, to ask you what's going on, to ask tough questions out of love. So definitely agree with finding another accountability partner. All right, next question. I am somebody that struggles with porn addiction and who is also sexually active with my wife and happily married. How would you handle the situation of trying to have the conversation with your significant other about your addiction? Now, my addiction also includes spending a lot of money on porn and going to webcams and chat rooms and things like that. So how do I bring that up to my wife? How do I have that conversation so that we can have a better marriage?
Wow. Yeah, so that's a tough situation, especially if you've never talked to her about it. I'm not going to give you a walkthrough on like how that conversation needs to look, because that is a larger topic. But you do need to have that conversation. A lot of people recommend, and I agree, that there needs to be some sort of full disclosure process where you're going to, hey, like, let me just tell you what's going on. And that is going to get ugly, and it's going to be painful, and it's going to cause some issues in the marriage, for sure. But you can't ever move forward completely with freedom and recovery and all these other things and helping your marriage out if there's not a basis for trust and honesty. So you have to have that conversation, right? Some guys think, well, hey, I'll just tell her part of the story, and then I'll keep leaking her details as things go on. Not a great idea, generally speaking, because it's like she's going to start wondering, well, how much else are you holding back? And then, to be honest, the way humans work, we will catastrophize the situation and start thinking, well, what else? Well, maybe he's going to look at prostitutes. Maybe he's doing this. Maybe he's doing that. She might start thinking that you're doing things you're not even doing. So you need to get your cards out on the table. Take the lumps, right? Because there are going to be some. And then also be prepared for the fact that when you tell your wife about this, she's going to have to deal with her own recovery, if you will, in terms of healing. She's going to feel betrayed. She's going to feel damaged. She's going to be extremely hurt, and she's going to need resources and things that she can lean into to kind of support her during that time. That's why we offer groups for spouses with small groups online. That's why back in December we launched Live Free Wives, because we wanted a community for wives where they could find their own help and healing. Right? All that being said, that doesn't mean that you two come together, blow it up, and then go your separate ways and work on your own issues separately. There still needs to be working together through this process, right? And there's stages to it. There's absolutely stages to it in terms of, okay, hey, initial disclosure, to healing, to rebuilding intimacy, to moving past everything. Like, it's a long process, but you need to have that conversation for sure.
Absolutely. All right, last question. One of the things I found very difficult when trying to kick porn was while single was, what do I do with the sexual activity when it strikes at the office? There are a lot of things I can do at home, but what can I do at the office when all I have is my computer and my cubicle?
Well, the obvious answer is don't look at porn or masturbate in your cubicle, right? That's the obvious answer, because that will most likely get you fired and possibly thrown in jail if you expose yourself to a coworker. So let's just get that one out of the thing. But gosh, honestly, this is an example for me of, you're asking in some respects the wrong question, right? It's like, well, hey, if I have the urge when I'm married, I have my wife, but when I'm at work, what do I do? And it's like, the question should not be, hey, what's my solution to sexual fulfillment when I'm away from my wife and at work? Like, that should not be the question, right? Why do we need sexual fulfillment at work, right? What is happening at work that's triggering your desire to act out. And beyond that, if your desire to act out of work is, hey, I have porn, I have masturbation, I have these things, but at home I have my wife, well, what's that mean? Does that mean your wife is basically your substitute for porn? That's not good either, right? I mean, I'm glad you're having sex with your wife when at home and not opting to look at porn instead, but are you just approaching sex with your wife as basically an outlet for sex and overlooking what we talked about last week or the last couple of weeks, just completely overlooking the whole intimacy factor? And like, why do we have sex in the first place? Like, what's the purpose of sex? It's not just so we can orgasm, right? That is not the only purpose for sex. And when we approach sex in that way, it leads us down all sorts of the wrong paths. So the better question here is, why are you having these urges at work? What's happening at work? And have you done anything to address the fact that you have these desires to go look at porn and masturbate and things like that? Have you asked the question, why isn't my sex life with my wife and what I'm experiencing at home good enough? What is going on there? And if you haven't pursued any sort of recovery and your only solution so far has been, hey, I got married, well, dude, that's not going to help you, right? You're just, one book referred to, I won't mention the book's title, but talked about women as a methadone for porn. Like, that's just terrible. Like, that's a terrible way to think of and treat your wife. Is like, she's just this substitute for what I really want, right? So I would say we need to go back to the drawing board. I'm glad you're married. I'm glad you're not looking at porn at home. You definitely don't want to look at porn and masturbate at work because you'll probably get fired. Most companies these days have filters and surveillance and all sorts of things. But we need to, or you need to address the whole, hey, what's going on here? Why do I want to do these things in the first place? And that's what we call recovery. And again, the steps to that are what we always outline is reach out to find that community where you can kind of have these conversations, have that accountability partner or partners where you can process this stuff out and start trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe you're going to need to go down the road of counseling at some point, but there's a lot more here that needs to be addressed and answered than just simply, what do I do when I get the urge at work? Right? Because that's absolutely not the best question to be asking right now. And again, not faulting you, not shaming you or anything like that. We do this stuff all the time as humans. We sometimes get so focused on one thing that we miss the bigger thing. Right. And I think that's what's happening here. You're focused on the wrong question. Don't worry about how do you get satisfaction at work. Worry about why do you need satisfaction at work? And why do you want to go to these things in the first place? And why are you basically looking at your wife as a solution to your sexual urges rather than, hey, this is somebody that I'm supposed to share my life with and build intimacy through. And yes, part of that intimacy building is sex, right? So that's all I got on that.
Yeah, great answer. Great answer. Well, Carl, that's all we got.
All right, cool. Well, that was interesting, but love the questions. These are just examples of some of the stuff that come in that are very situationally specific, and that's the reason we do these office hours. So also, hey, if you're especially watching on YouTube, if you have comments or questions or anything like that, feel free to put them in the comment section below. We'd love to hear from you and know what's going through your mind. You can also go to xxxchurch.com/office hours, and you can enter your questions in there for us to answer in an upcoming episode. So thank you, Neil. Appreciate your help as always. And we'll be back next week, folks.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Office Hours. Have questions you need answered? Submit them at xxxchurch.com/office-hours, and then tune in next week to hear what we got to say. Until then,